Lord, we pray that your word would now be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Lord, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, just open it up to us. Lord, thank you for your word, this wardrobe into Narnia. Lord, I pray that every time we open it, we would have an encounter with you. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of ideas. There's been some time in Romans chapter 4. Some in Hebrews 6, just about Abraham. Kind of familiar verses, but just to give you a couple of thoughts I had. This is in Romans chapter 4, speaking of, he's talking about the law versus faith and promises. You know, that Abraham was given a promise by God, you know, and it wasn't according to the law, it was according to the promise. And so we'll pick up there. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, or calls that which as not being able seen as seen, actually it says. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall your descendants be. But without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God promised, God was able to perform. I was thinking of this idea of when it says that faith works with grace, or is in accordance with grace, right? And we know that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the grace of God is experienced, or the grace of Christ is experienced in weakness, right? That's where you experience more grace than anything. The ability or the power of God is in and through weakness, right? So if faith works with grace, then sometimes for faith to be activated in us, we are reduced to nothing but faith, right? So you see, Abraham got the promise when he was about 75 years old. But that promise wasn't fulfilled until he was 100. And it said, you know, when he was 75, he could kind of help God out and, you know, mess things up. Of course, we know that story. We're still battling that battle today. But the Lord brought him to the place to where the promise of God could not be fulfilled in Abraham without an absolute miracle. He was reduced to faith. And it was in hope against hope he believed, you know. I've always seen that as just in the worst kind of scenario you could possibly get, which is true. But I look at it as his hope and the hope of Christ going side by side. And when Abraham's hope diminished, right, impossible, then he was able to come into union with the God of all hope, right, who calls into being that which does not exist. Says it exists even though you can't see it, right? Whatever in our life reduces us to faith, right? Where a situation's impossible. Or promises that you have, you know, some promises that we have aren't fulfilled yet because you haven't been reduced to nothing but him in that area. Or without God, it is impossible. And I was just seeing in my life some words of going back in my journal, looking back at some things the Lord spoke to me that are just now being fulfilled in my life. But it was at a time when it was absolutely impossible that I could have done anything. The only thing I had left was just to believe, right? So Abraham really didn't grow strong in faith until that last year, right? So it doesn't matter about the time when you start believing. It matters to that point where you say, all right, God, without you and without your intervention, this is absolutely impossible and it's not going to happen. Well, it said that with respect in verse 20, with respect to the promise of God. That's a different word kind of in the Greek than we thought, you know, I respect that man. I respect what he says, yes. But that word respect there means to move things into motion, to get things going, right? Abraham got things going when he said, oh, I get it. Oh, it's going to be from you, God. Things started happening. When you're reduced to faith, things are pushed into motion for you. Because if faith is working with grace, then faith works in weakness, our weakness, right? Not a faith that just like, I can do it, you know, I can jump in there. But faith where you're utterly dependent upon another. I always use this because the Lord speaks to me in pictures. I remember someone saying one time, you know, we came to the church sitting on a pew, and he said, you know, what real faith looks like, you exercise faith when you walk in and you sit on that pew, right? You had full confidence that that pew was going to hold you up, right? I've never seen anybody come in here and check it, look up under it, you know, move it back and forth to make sure that that pew was going to hold them. They just came and sat in that pew by faith, depending on something stronger than them to hold them up, right? And the second thing is that faith works in accordance with grace. Faith always has food, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, conviction, evidence, right? And actually that word is substance. Faith is substance. If there's not something out there to believe, then I can't walk in faith, can I? So the promises of God are the food that he gives you to sink your teeth into, because faith has to have, it's based on a promise, right? All faith is based on promises. The Lord loves to, throughout our life, giving us, we had a group meeting the other night. I got a thing on Wednesday nights at Blue Jean, and we're going through this. They asked me to come on as a consultant with them in inner healing, and they were going through these inner healing classes, and we watch these videos, and then we meet afterwards and then talk about the video, and it's really good. A lot of guys didn't journal because some people see it as like journaling is like writing a diary, you know, dear diary, you know, this is what happened today. And but when I journal, my journaling comes from what God is saying to me. I journal his promises to me, right? So I can look back. That's my food. That's the meat substance he's given me. And I don't want to forget the things that he's spoken or promised to me, right? Because I want to watch them. I want to watch them begin to unfold. So you may be a person that journals. It's not a thing that you do or have, you know, or not do or makes you more spiritual or anything. But if you don't, my encouragement would be is to journal what God is saying to you. That's what you're journaling. Man learns to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know where they learned that? In the wilderness, right? They were reduced to faith. They were reduced to learning how to live out of what God says. And with me and some healings, things that's even going on in my body now, every time God heals me or gets me ready to get healed, I'm reduced to faith. There's nothing that doctors can seem to fix it with me. It's just more confusion. Go see more doctors, more confusion, right? And so I've learned in my journey that right before these things begin to happen and my healing comes, then I'm reduced to living by what God has said. You know, one day, my promises come from in my Bible, Jeremiah 30, which is page 1111, right? 1111 is my numbers of healing. 1111 is Jeremiah 30, where it's God says, I will heal you and restore you to health. I'll restore your home, your fort, you know, everything that the enemy has stolen, but I will heal you, right? That came at a time when I had no idea what page 1111 was at mine, right? That's God's promise to me. How do I put it into action, right? I do respect it, right? God said, you said it, then you're going to do it. And Lord, I want to put all of that into action in my life. So this in Hebrews chapter 6, I really love this verse, one of my favorite. Says, we desire that each of you show the same diligence to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Great verse there. Sluggish is just a word for dull, that you may not become dull in the promises of God, right? You're looking for and you're expecting, right? That's how you keep sharp, isn't it? You imitators. And then he talks about Abraham here again. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, I will surely multiply you. And so it says, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise, right? For a year. He didn't patiently wait. You know. Anyway, what that word means, this is the point I want to make with this. What that actually says in the Greek is that Abraham happened upon it. And when you're walking and you've been reduced by faith and you've got the promise of God there and you're yesing amen to his promises, right, you will happen upon that promise. It'll just all of a sudden happen, right? You may not know the time, the day, or whenever, but God said it, he'll do it, and I'm reduced to faith, right? Here's the encouraging thing. When you're reduced in your faith, always remember that you are in union with his faith, right? That's really where he's bringing us to. When I come in union with his faith to believe, when it's just so impossible, like, yes, Lord. That is the reducing to faith. And when I'm reduced to nothing but faith, then things go into action. And I just feel like I'm there in this time with the Lord, with me, and the closing of a season in my life. I just feel like I'm there. That's the reason the Lord just really encouraged me with this, you know. So what I'm going back to is what he said he would do. And I'm contemplating my body, thinking, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done, right? And from that point in time, I don't want to waver in unbelief, right? I want to keep that before me. So I'm constantly in prayer, keeping that promise before me. I'm going back through my journal, looking at all the promises. Amazes me. I'll even do this, too, in your Bible. If you get a promise from the Lord, put a date by it. I write dates by them. My Bible's covered with dates. This particular date, the Lord spoke this, you know? And then I try to write it down, too, go back. Just amazing. I love going back. I love that those kind of journeys. So faith works with grace. And when those are working together, you will happen upon that promise. It'll just happen, right? Just like it did with Abraham. Amen?